Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, you can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Folks, welcome back. We're excited to be here tonight doing a simulcast with World Ministries International. Coming to you live from Stanwood, Washington, here on September 13th, 2024. Dr. Hansen, over to you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with each one of you that are watching right now or listening. Shannon Davis, OmegaManRadio.com. Welcome to all of those people that tune in. I know that you are right up to current reality because he's a wonderful man that gets the truth out there. Warning, you watch our program all the time, you know that we bring constantly truth out by various experts in their field, and we hold nothing back. We bring it all out. And so I want to welcome all of you. If you watched my program, if you've been used to that over the years, and even periodically on this program that we're doing with Shannon Davis, Attorney Pigeon has been on many of my programs in the past. He's with me tonight. If you're watching, you say, wow, he looks a little different. Well, yeah, he flew in from Alaska. You know, he's got to keep warm. So he does look a little different. And but we did over a two-hour program today on his network, and he still has fire in his belly, and he still is radical as ever. And so I wish he was, here to give our Supreme Court and Jay Inslee and others a good exchange of the sword, because we really did a lot of battle in this state together, and not only in this state but nationally, as we exposed evil and corruption at the highest levels. We did so many programs exposing the lies of Obama, the fraud, his illegitimate, see, to even be president. We did a ton of programs exposing the Muslim Brotherhood and Obama, who he was. Just a lot of programs. We've done a lot of programs on COVID. And we know now that, we knew it always. But now so much of America and the world knows just the flat lies they propagated on COVID because they wanted to depopulate the world. And those that would not listen, many of them took the vaccination and many of them are dead. And more are going to keep dying over the years. They're trying to depopulate the world. You've heard me say we must be under an Issachar. You've got to be under an Issachar, whatever church you're going to, or get out of that church, because you're going to be a victim with the pastor of that church. Things are getting ready to strike, and strike quickly, and strike hard. We're going to talk a little bit on this very program about what could happen in November. Civil unrest, civil war, and an invasion. You've heard me say that. I've said it dogmatically because it's going to happen. And when it happens, you remember where you heard it. You're not going to escape. Nobody's going to see an escape miracle, a parachute, because of your prayers. It's not going to happen. You've got to understand the signs of judgment. We have not repented. We're getting worse. This November could really trigger a lot of things into reality, including the collapse of the dollar. They're trying to collapse the dollar. They're trying right now. They're trying to digitize your currency, take away your cash, and mark you. Then what are you going to do if you've been attending a false church? I just about said with an idiot as a pastor. Because that's what he is if he's not in tune to reality. You should not be attending his church. I get back to the dream I had in 85 that changed my life. And the Lord said, I said, why is your heart breaking? Why is the church in love with the world? He said, the pastor behind the pulpit. So I make no apologies. I've been burdened ever since to wake up the church. I primarily speak to pastors, apostles, the church leadership. And I warn them clearly to wake up. And I give them teachings from the Bible, what's going to happen to them if they don't, if they manipulate his people. I give them teachings how God has showed in my very meetings once two angels appeared. They wrote down everything I said. People's eyes were open. They fell under the power of God. They were slain. They were 6 hours. That night I said, Lord, why did you send your angels? He said, they're in every church, whoever speaks behind the pulpit. Two angels. They were recording everything I said. And I said, what were they doing? He said, they were recording everything the person says behind the pulpit. And on judgment day, those two angels are going to either vindicate or condemn that person with his own words. I've never forgot that. The Bible says, don't add or subtract lest you be damned. And there's a lot of pastors that are going to be damned. You're going to be shocked. We're already seeing the nonsense come out of the corruption of the church, like T.D. Jakes. Oh, some are still afraid. I call them a racist ever since he backed Obama on television. How can you back somebody that is obviously an enemy of America? That preaches racism. That I don't know how you can back that type of person. Now his sins are coming out. Joel Osteen. My goodness, he doesn't seem to know that there's only one God you serve. He doesn't seem to know it. He can't seem to admit it. Oh, the Muslims, yeah, they love God. Well, I don't know. I just know that for me, what is wrong with you, Joel? You're right, you don't know. Never talk about sin. Never talk about reality. Never talk about judgment. Oh, the homosexuals, yeah, they're good people too. I just preach love. The person might be good. The sin will separate them from God for eternity. And if you don't deal with that, what are you doing? See, I'm just tired with the nonsense. I'm tired. I got no time for games. If you want to play games, I got no time for you. I got no time. See, Attorney Pigeon, director of the Sefer Company, publishing house. Mm-hmm. I tell you, you and I have done a lot of serious programs. Mm-hmm. And we've received a lot of mail both ways. You love us or you hate us, our programs. I got the highest ratings, but I also got thrown off a television station.
What can I tell you?
What can I tell you? I always say that when he comes, he gets me into trouble.
Well, let me begin, Dr. Hansen, by saying, it is written, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. But you will be judged by every word that comes out of your mouth. It's also written in Scripture, let your yea be your yea and your nay be your nay. Now, this gives us an indication. Speaking as a lawyer, and I told you earlier this afternoon, I'm actually a better lawyer now that I'm retired than I was when I was practicing.
Yes.
Because I don't have to practice. I can just study, right? And so I have been a very strident student of the common law for the last 4 years. And the common law, of course, at its root, there's three premises that underpin the common law. One is that the law springs from time out of mind. Two, the law is manifestly reasonable. And the third one is, I can't remember it right now. it's manifestly reasonable. It springs from time out of mind. It has not been contradicted by anyone. Okay. So when you look at the common law, the common law in its essence springs from the Ten Commandments. Now, this was substantiated by a lawyer in France in the 1500s. His name was Jean Bodin, and he wrote a book called Six Essays on the Commonwealth. And in his book, he was researching the idea, does the law of the West, is it derived from Aristotelian, Platonic, Socratic thinking, or does it spring from the Justinian Code, the Corpus Juris Civilis, and the laws of Rome? And he ultimately concluded that the root of all the common law comes from the Ten Commandments. That's the root of all the common law. So I've taught a very extensive class on this subject, 67 hours of teaching on the Ten Commandments, going through the entirety of how Moshe's Torah is derived from these Ten Commandments. Remember that the scripture says that the Ten Commandments were handwritten by the finger of Yah himself. He wrote it. Moshe didn't write it. He wrote them. And Deuteronomy 5:22 says he wrote them and added nothing further. Now, he could have added a lot more. Do you think it was in his capacity to write 10,000 words? Of course. But he didn't. He gave us these commands because, why? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And in your faith, in your faith walk, if your yoke is not easy and your burden light, then you're being complicated, unnecessarily complicated, by a world that is being extrapolated and contrived to place a burden on you. What does Mashiach say to the Pharisees? You place burdens on men's shoulders and then do not lift one finger to help them. And you keep them from entering into the kingdom. Very important part of this teaching. So when we look at the common law, at the essence of the common law is it springing from time out of mind. And time out of mind is at the time of Moshe's Torah. Now, this common law was given birth, and it was given birth where? Curiously enough, it was given birth in Ireland. And this was following the arrival of Jeremiah in 581 BC. And he arrives in Ireland, with the daughter of the last king of Judea, the daughter of Zedekiah. And she arrives and marries the king to rise as the first high Irish king, Yochaid the Harriman. And they named their capital city Tara, after the Torah. They called it Tara. And the Torah overthrew the previous serpent worship class that was on the island. And because of this, they began to teach the Torah as the foundation of law. Now, this broke into a system called the Brehon Laws. The Brehon Laws. And the Brehons were judges. And they would judge in a stone circle that had 12 stones set up like a clock. And they had a rocking stone and a Logan stone. And the Logan stone, people would put a donation on there. And the rocking stone, the judge would stand on the rocking stone. And when you were talking, he would lean back on the stone. So the stone would kick back and he'd lean back like this. You could tell he was listening. And then when he was judging or deciding, he would lean forward and the rock would lean forward and he would lean forward to give his decision. But to give his decision, it had to be predicated upon the common law, which sprung out of time, out of mind, and was manifestly reasonable. And so because of this, it was all foundational to the Ten Commandments. Now, the common law, so when we talk about the common law, we have to understand that the common law springs from the handwriting of the Father himself. Okay? It springs from that handwriting. Now, with that being the case, the common law becomes the commonwealth. The commonwealth creates common sense. Okay? The commonwealth creates common sense. Now, with that kind of an understanding and that kind of an application, now when anything else enters into that community that is born on that common law, it is subject to that common law. So you come in with some weird idea. You know, we're going to make this mandatory. Everybody has to bow down to the statue of Abe Lincoln. Well, can you point to the common law where that has its foundation in time out of mind? And then can you point to its reasonableness? Well, no, you can't. Well, then it's not law. It's a fantasy that you've created and some method of coercion. Now, when we see this, you can see, going back to the scripture that's written, let your yea be your yea and your nay be your nay. What does this mean? It means that with your mouth, you have contractual authority. Now, the Torah is pretty clear about contractual authority as well, right? And there is a little bit of subordination in the Torah. For instance, if a husband and wife that are married, if the wife enters into a contract without her husband's knowledge, he has the right to disavow that contract when he first learns of it. Similarly, if he has a daughter and she enters into a contract without his knowledge, he has the right to disavow that. If he doesn't disavow in either case, then it becomes binding on the person. A widow, she has the right to make her own decision whenever she wants. And if she does, it's binding. So this is what we talk about. We talk about deliverance. When we talk about the idea of deliverance, the necessity for deliverance has to do with the contract you entered into with your mouth. And people do not know the things with which they make agreement. They don't know with which they make agreement because the demonic forces, and when we talk about, like in the Sefer, we talk about the source of the demons, right? But something really quite interesting in the Sefer, John, which is this. You see that one of the things that takes place in the Gospels for the first time is the Messiah casting out a demon. And it's one of the very first miracles that happens. He casts out a demon on the Shabbat. And when he does, everybody's amazed that this demon is being cast out. And they turn to each other and say, we have not seen this ever before in Yisrael. Well, what do you mean you've never seen it before? Why haven't you seen it before? Why isn't there discussed about demonology in the Tanakh or Old Testament? Reason? It's told to you in the book of Enoch in chapter 10. It says that the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim will be trapped for 70 generations. Okay, well, you can get a lot of guys speculating about 70 generations. Well, that's 70 times 40 or this. We do try to figure out some time extrapolation. You don't have to do that. Just look at Luke chapter 3 and count backwards from the Messiah through the lineage of Joseph, the supposed father, until you get to Enoch. It's exactly 70 generations. So what you see is the demons were unleashed for the first time in the generation of the Messiah, who was then casting them out. And the demons were not only present in the demoniac or in the demoniacs, but were also cast into animals. Now, what were they afraid of? What were the demons afraid of? They were afraid of being cast into the outer darkness. Do not cast us into another country, it reads, but really it's the outer darkness. And this is the ultimate disposition for a disembodied spirit. You know, imagine. You know, here's your fate for eternity. You're going to be in orbit around Pluto with no one to talk to ever, right? You're going to be cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, keep this in mind, too, when we talk about deliverance, that for the believer, we are kings and priests. So I came to my grandson, you know, and he's going through a lot of difficulties. He's a teenager, right? So he's got this going on, that going on, the other thing going on. And I said, look, do you remember when you were baptized? He said, yeah, I remember that. You were baptized to be a king and a priest. You weren't baptized to be something shallow and something insignificant and something trivial and something wondering about who you are. You're baptized to be a king and a priest. What's it mean to be a king and a priest? To be sovereign over your own mind. Now, this is something that Eric was spoken about earlier. This idea of the war of the mind. You are called upon to be a king. This is to be sovereign over your own mind. You don't go through life saying, well, my pastor said. That's an unacceptable response. You know, I asked a friend of mine who was a pastor in Melbourne, Australia. I said, I'm going to ask you the truth. How many people in your congregation have actually read the 66 book Bible cover to cover? He said, truly? I said, yeah, truly. 2%. You know, in the Jewish world, do you know what they call somebody who's read the Bible from cover to cover one time? An ignoramus. Because they've only read it once, right? They haven't inhaled it. They haven't ingested it. They haven't, it hasn't been engrafted into their bone marrow, what's being said. So they don't understand the stories. I mean, people say, and I've seen this happen quite a bit in the community, that there will be somebody comes in and attacks Paul. Well, Paul's a false prophet. Well, Paul's a this. Paul's that. Paul's the other thing. Well, I'm going to agree with that. Oh, you're going to agree with that? Yeah, I've read Paul. I find him to be the apostle that got kicked out of Ephesus for being a false apostle. Really? How'd you make that determination? Did you read the foundational documents that Paul read before he made the statements he made? What do you mean? Well, have you even read 1 John? No, I haven't done that. Have you read the book of Jude? That's only one page. Nope, haven't read that. Have you read the book of James? Nope. Have you gone through the book of Revelation? No, I haven't read that. What have you read? Well, I've read some of Matthew, Psalm 23, and a little bit of Malachi. Well, you know, you need to read a little bit more. And when you read a little bit more and you get the rest of the story, and then when you read a little bit more and you get the rest of the story, you haven't found the rest of the story. I mean, I'll give you an example here. Let me just give you an example.
I would say, Steve, that that type of person doesn't know God.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree. They don't know.
They cannot know God with what you just said.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you look at the word, there's a word in Hebrew, okay? And there's a phrase that goes, Yada Yahweh ki tov ki la'olam chastu. Praise Yahweh, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever. What is this word, Yada, right? Yada is a combination of Yah and Da, right? You ever heard the sentence, no duh? Right? Well, you know, in reality, it's no da, because da is to know. So what is yada? To praise Yah is to know Yah. To worship Yah is to know Yah. What is eternal life? What's it say in John 17 is eternal life? The knowledge of the Father and the Son whom he sent. This is eternal life. Do you know Yah or don't you? That's a question. Do you know? What's it say in Proverbs 30 verse 4? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? That's a question.
See, a person cannot know God if they don't know the word of God. You cannot know God. That's why they said some of these silly statements, discrediting Paul. I've always thought Paul was one of my heroes, how he was willing to do anything at any price to lay down his life. But yet this other person doesn't know God. The only reason you can know God is if you know the word of God, if you inhale the word of God, so God can lead you and guide you and direct you, speak to you. But we've got a church that is totally ignorant.
Well, the church, I mean, let's go back to the deliverance issue, because here's where you have a real ignorance in the church. Because people do not understand how they get into contractual relationships with demons and devils.
Yeah, that's good.
Remember that the devil is a liar, a deceiver, a murderer, and an accuser. Okay, so one of the things you can do, you can say, well, I don't have any demons in me. Well, do you spend time accusing somebody?
That's good.
Are you bearing false witness about somebody? And a lot of people, it's a very simple analysis. Are you doing things that are out of your control? Are you plagued by the idea of suicide? Are you plagued by the idea of disease? Do you feel like you're a robust failure? Do you feel like you can't walk, you can't act, you can't do this, you can't do the other thing? This is because demons are resident within you. And there are probably many demons resident within you, and you don't even know it.
Yep.
They're a spiritual parasite. Okay, that's what they are. They're a spiritual parasite. And so because of this, they can't do anything to you. They physically do not have the power to kill you. But they can talk you into it. They don't have the power. They don't have the power to engineer disease, but they can talk you into it. They can trap you into a contractual relationship.
That's right.
Did Yah really say you will not die? Did he really say that? It's just a question. And you find yourself agreeing. So let me give you an example. J.K. Rowling, right? Harry Potter. These were books that were manifest instruction books for witchcraft. And she didn't hide the fact that they were bona fide instruction manuals in witchcraft. And there were some parents who said, I'm resisting that. I don't want my kids to read Harry Potter, and I don't want them to see the movies. Right? And the kids sneak around your back and read Harry Potter. And there were other parents who were like, well, at least my child's reading something. Well, you know, they could be reading the Satanic Bible if you're short on literature, right? But in reading this witchcraft manual, what have you done? You've opened the door to, you know, a witch's incantation, which, by the way, is denounced in Scripture. Incantation, sorcery, necromancy, all of this is denounced in Scripture. If you read the witch's manual and you're reading this stuff and you're believing any of it, incantation now is effective against you. If somebody curses you with a witchcraft curse, you don't even know it. They're living in Haiti somewhere with a voodoo doll going, you know. The next thing you know, hey, you're cursed. You've got the curse. Why? Because you opened the door to incantation. Incantation is specifically banned. Now, sorcery is also banned. But what is sorcery? Well, the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia. And in Revelation 18:23, it says, by their sorcery, the whole world will be deceived. What's it say in 2 Thessalonians 2? You will be given over to a great delusion. Why? Why are you given over to the great delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2? Because you did not love the truth. Now, in the modern world, they not only don't love the truth, they hate the truth and are willing to kill you, put you in prison, shut you up, anything they can to keep from hearing the truth. Oscar Wilde once said, never tell the people the truth. But if you do, make sure you make them laugh. Otherwise, they'll turn around and kill you. Because guess what? You can't handle the truth. And what is the truth, right? What is the truth? Well, what did Messiah say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just the life. A person should not be saying, well, I've got eternal life. You know, I did my prayer confession. I did the altar call. Now I can go and sin as much as I want because everything got nailed to the cross. You know, there is a way. When you get out of bed in the morning, you can say, okay, I'm out of bed. Now you got some choices. You can walk to the right. You can walk to the left. You can go straight ahead, generally speaking. If you walk to the right, you crash into the nightstand. If you walk straight ahead, you go into the wall. So there's one way that is properly out of the bedroom. That's to the left, right? So this is the same kind of thing that you have a choice in life. And the choice in life, you can either walk the straight path, yashar, that you mentioned, yashar. You can walk the straight path, or you can walk some other path. One path is true. It's a narrow road if you find it. It's a narrow road if you find it. And so this is why this straight path is very, very important. But when you talk, going back to the common law and this contractual relationship, John, contracts are the heart and the binding of the common law. The common law is the commonwealth from which common sense springs. There is no power on earth. There is no king. There is no legislature. There is no judge who is not subject to the common law, which springs from the Ten Commandments, the handwriting of Yah himself. If they are out of joint with that foundation of truth, then they are not lawfully the king. They are not lawfully the legislator. They are not lawfully the judge. They don't exist. They're imposters. They're usurpers. And they're in the hands of demons. So under these circumstances, when we look at the crashing of America, which is coming very quickly, and we'll get to that point here very quickly. When we look to the crashing of America, a lot of believers are going to say, well, what do we do from here? What do we do from here? We don't know what to do from here. Let's run around with a chicken with our head cut off. Well, for one thing, you do need to start by deliverance. You have to get the demons out of you. And one of those demons, right, there's a couple of big demons inside of you. One of the big demons is the failure of you to forgive yourself. That's a big demon. There's a demon saying, there's a demon in there, there's a Satan in there saying, well, do you remember when you did this? Well, do you remember? There's a finger pointing at you. And it's a finger pointing at you from inside of you. Do you remember? No, I don't remember. Well, I'm going to remind you. Let me remind you. Let me remind you how far you fell from grace. Let me remind you how far you were in the pit. Let me remind you how far you were in apostasy. Let me remind you how far you were in sin. Hey, as a king and a priest, I got something to say to you. Shut up. Okay? You're out of here, slick. Goodbye.
And hey, Steve, that also, not only you can condemn yourself, but when you hear people constantly condemning you, or constantly condemning somebody else, mm-hmm. or constantly bringing up their sins.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago.
It's a spirit of accusation.
And they, you know, hey, that was done 10 years ago. And you repented 100 times.
Mm.
In other words,
do you
believe, they never let you forget it.
But, John.
Now, isn't that demonic?
Do you? Yes, of course it is. It is.
What I was going to say is capitalize. Not only can you have that demon condemn you, but through other people, they condemn you.
That's exactly right. And then if you're listening, if you agree, you see, if you agree, then you've said you let your yay be your nay. You've agreed. And once you've agreed, that demon moves in and starts furnishing the apartment. You know, let's put a refrigerator full of poisons over here. Some artwork over here. You know what I mean? It's some nasty stuff when these demons move in. And, of course, there's a demon of death. There's a demon of suicide. There is a Masonic spirit that has to go away. You know, there's so many connections with Freemasons. You may not even know you've engaged in an oath with a Freemason. Right? I pledge allegiance to a flag. One nation under a God. See, if you had an I in front of there, it'd be a little bit more explicit, wouldn't it? Which God? Hello? One nation under a God. Which God? Which God? Right? And, you know, so people have no idea the agreements they enter into. You know, you're watching a commercial. You know, here's my favorite commercial. Ask your doctor. Ask your doctor whether this particular drug, which is going to cure the itch behind your kneecap, but could cause, you know, brain tumors, heart attacks, blood clots, cancer, and your kidneys to fall out. You know, ask your doctor if this is right for you. Like my doctor is some kind of pontificating know-it-all pontiff, something other than a legalized drug dealer. No, I'm not asking my doctor. I'm not interested in my doctor's opinion. But, you know, ask your doctor. No, I'm not going to ask my doctor. But if you agree, I have, you know, people don't realize it. When you see a pharmaceutical ad, first they show the happy-go-lucky person who's, you know, throwing the dog bone. The dog's running after it. It's a sunny day, you know. Cancer of the kidneys. It's going to kill you. That's an incantation. That's a curse. The TV is cursing you right there on the spot. It's cursing you right there on the spot. That's an incantation. What are you doing listening to that? You can't listen to that. You can't view it. You can't let your ears hear it. You can't let your eyes see it. You cannot listen to that incantation. It's the same thing with the news media. When you listen to the news media, who's propagandists working for intelligence agencies, the very first thing that comes out of their mouth is the biggest lie they're going to tell. So they tell this great big fat lie, and then the rest of the story is justifying. See, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. And when you're listening to it and agreeing with it, you're taking on that incantation. When you're talking about professional sports, same thing. It's incantation. It is, it's hypnotizing. It's mesmerizing. And a lot of this stuff goes on in churches. It goes on in churches. Where is the teaching? Where is the scripture? How come you don't know that the Ten Commandments are still binding? Do you think that Yah was lying when he gave those Ten Commandments to the house of Yisrael? Maybe he was just kidding. You know, just kidding. You know, that whole story you read in the Old Testament about these guys being under this covenant and coming out of bondage in Egypt and him rescuing you, doing this whole thing through the wilderness and planting a people for 14 generations from whom the Messiah would come. And just kidding. Just kidding. I changed my mind later on.
You know, Steve, you touched on Harry Potter. And I've done a lot of programs in Harry Potter. I did maybe some with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, she obviously, the author was a witch. And in the sorcery and everything else. I mean, they were teaching real sorcery, Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
But touch on Walt Disney.
Oh, absolutely. An occultist. And in fact, you know, Disneyland and Disney World are occult centers. And they have their biggest day of the year is, of course, Halloween. And they run all kind, you know, the incantation that comes down through, you know, when you wish upon a star, blah, 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 right? Here comes the incantation. Here comes hypnotizing. What do they teach you? Oh, believe in yourself and you can do anything you want to do, right? Maslow's hierarchy of need. How about believe in Yah, right? And let Yah believe in you. How about believe in Yah and let him believe in you? This business of I'm going to believe in myself and I'm going to lift myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm going to engage with a magic wand and I'm going to be the magician's friend like Mickey Mouse.
And Snow White.
And Snow White and on and on. And it's always the same. You know, the girl is a rebellious teenager who leaves her father, runs off and does whatever she wants to do, engages in fornication and adulterous relationships, and then decides to lead her new life like Britney Spears. And then they give you that model over and over again.
You know, it has always bothered me that you have Christians, pastors, constantly bragging, even putting on Facebook how we visited Disneyland with their grandkids. And even though it's been shared quite a bit, what they represent and how and unmoral they are, and into even other things.
Oh, well.
Let's get into human trafficking.
Mm.
But yet pastors are going there.
Well, you know, again, John, I know your mission to the world is concerning pastors. I look at the world from this point of view. You know, there's plenty of prophecies about worthless shepherds in the last days.
But mine is more than pastors. I'm talking about the people going there, the sheep, the bride of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely.
All of them.
When we're talking about kings and priests, your call is to what? Is it a call to hang out? Well, I'll just tell you. If you're going to hang out in occult places, occult demons are going to attach to you. And you may not even know.
There you go.
You may not have any idea what has attached to you. Somebody praying in tongues in a church with no interpreter. Right? What did they say exactly? What did you hear? And then you said amen to it. Right? What happened? How did you find out that, you know, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, some of the things that have happened with me, I was very shocked to learn that there were demons present from these particular things. And it took me a great deal of research to go back in my mind to recognize when that demon had attached to me, right? And it was through my law practice, you know. But I can tell you that so when we talk about deliverance, the first thing you have to recognize is, number one, there is nothing to be afraid of. The only thing, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, you've got spiritual parasites, they need to go away. Premise number one. Premise number two, you need to be a king and a priest, which means what? You need to be responsible for your own understanding of Scripture from beginning to end. You need to know what is being said there. You need to know what the entirety of the message is. You got to get that message. That now, with that in place, what comes upon the world now, as fearful as it's going to be, and it's going to be ferocious, and it's coming very, very quickly, particularly to the Western world. You know, when I look at it, John, let's talk about this for a second. This election of Joe Biden, which of course was no election at all, nor was the election of Barack Obama, who was totally unqualified to be the president of the United States. He couldn't substantiate he was an American citizen. When I raised the issue, hey, could you prove you're an American? You know what they said to me? Birther, you're a racist birther. You didn't ask for George Bush's birth certificate. I would have if I had known. Right?
Steve, we did 3 programs on Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Exposing his false birth certificates.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous. And the last one, the one that he adopted at the White House, I told you during that program, I said, my opinion is that's going to be exposed as a forgery in 24 hours. It was exposed as a forgery in 4 hours. And he never took it down. And now we know who the forger was. I know who it was. Who forged it. It was his real mother, who's still living. But anyway.
He never showed his birth certificate.
He never showed it. Because he couldn't.
That would indict him.
Yeah, that's because then you would know that he wasn't operating under his birth name. Anyway, and of course, you know, we also know Leslie Lynch King didn't operate under his birthright, under his birth name either, right? So, but the point being is this, that we have seen a corruption come into America. And the corruption comes into America with things like this. The average American going, well, I believe in the media. So when they say weapons of mass destruction, that buzzword triggers an element in my mind that says, oh, we need to go bomb somebody. Oh, they're an Islamic terrorist. Oh, we need to go bomb somebody. Oh, those people are engaged in human rights violations. Oh, we need to go bomb somebody. They didn't tell you that the real reason we were going to war is because they were pulling away from the petrodollar. They never told us that. But the average American believed they had it a right to think on buzzwords. They'd give you a 3-word buzzword. that would cause an emotional trigger, and you're ready to pull the trigger on another human being. Just like that. That kind of spiritual laziness has cursed America into oblivion. And because we didn't, you know, and where did the lie begin? Well, JFK was assassinated by a lone gunman named Lee Harvey Oswald, right? That's where it began. And no, nobody's saying anything different. You don't get to say anything different. Who covered that up? Leslie Lynch King. You don't get to say anything different about who killed JFK. But we all know now it wasn't a single shooter, don't we? And how many other narratives have we been given since the beginning of this century about single shooters? We just had an event. Oh, it was a single shooter. The assassination of Trump. That was a single shooter, except they got three different ballistics from one gun. How about the single shooter in Las Vegas on October 1st of 2017? 55 people shot. Five shells found in his hotel room. Five? That's some good shooting. Man, you're getting 11 people with each round. That's some good shooting.
And Trump, what was it? Eight shots.
Yeah.
Eight shots at different angles.
At different angles for three different ballistics.
And how in the world, I used to be a sniper on the SWAT team. No way can they get that close. That would have been completely already ironed off.
Well, and then
it goes into just like January 6th. Nancy Pelosi opens the gates, they go in.
Well, January 6th, let's speak to that because there are people still sitting in prison on this without having even been charged. The January 6th people that supposedly were engaged in insurrection walked into a public building that was open for public access at the invitation of the Capitol Police, who then showed them into the Senate chambers and into the House chambers, and the cameras record this, that the Democrats will not allow to be released. Because the 33 professional agitators that were contracted by the FBI, none of whom have been indicted, were the ones breaking the windows, the ones telling everybody to make a forced entry, etc. Oh, no indictment of them. Why not? Because, of course, the federal government has been completely weaponized and is a totally corrupted institution. So, when you understand that there is no federal government remaining because there is no constitutional republic remaining, then you have to judge the nation on what the nation actually is. A technocratic, techno-fascist, communist regimen controlled by nothing but corrupted parasites, mooches, and leeches pretending to be politicians.
I've often called governments, including ours, many of them are nothing more than legalized mafia. Just a legalized mafia. Organized crime. And we could really go deep into that, even in America. You know, we reported on the JFK I did a long time ago, who was involved. Our website, worldministries.org, you look up Eagle Saving Nations, I go into it in depth. Who was involved? And our government was also involved, heavily involved, the CIA. But, you know, get back. Lots of things you touched on, just like Masons. You know, it's all through Congress. Mm-hmm. All through Congress.
Mm-hmm. The Masonic Order, by the way, this is the difficulty with the Masonic Order. The Masonic Order is a bad hodgepodge of polytheistic nonsense. So it has a little bit of Islam, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of Judaism, a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of Egyptianism, a little bit of this, that, and the other thing. So they don't know if they're coming or going because they pour everything in it. So at one point they're wearing the Shriners come out wearing a Muslim hat with the sickle moon. And the next thing you know, they're worshiping an upside down cross. Then they're worshiping Lucifer. Then they're worshiping this. Then they're taking an oath to the Baphomet. And they're doing that. And all this stuff keeps coming in because they have sucked down every occultic lemonade mix that's ever been prepared. And they do this in secret, taking a secret oath, which, by the way, is anathema to Scripture. That which is in the dark shall be shown in the light. And the Masonic Order is the true religion of America. It is the true religion of the United Kingdom. You can say what you want about being the defender of the faith, which Charles refused to say in his oath when he took the crown, to be the defender of the faith. Because the defender of the faith means the Anglican Church, as established by Henry VIII, in rejection to the Roman Catholic Church, and he refused to take it. Well, I'm the defender of the faith, with a plural. right? With the plural. And as soon as he said that, death walked by the door at Westminster Chapel. Go look at the video. And so when you talk about this, the true order is, the fact of the matter is, every Anglican priest in Britain is a Mason. Every member of parliament in Britain is a Mason. Most of the judges in the United States are Masons. Most of the congresspeople are Masons. It's a Masonic order, and the Masonic order is a delusion. It is a fraud. It is a polytheistic fraud. It is anathema to Scripture. And whether or not you've taken an oath to Lucifer, which the upper end does,
yeah,
you're still condemned because you have worshipped other Elohim. You've worshipped any Elohim. You know, you're like a great harlot. You're like a whoremonger. You're a spiritual whoremonger. That's who you are if you're a Mason. You're a spiritual whoremonger. That's who you are. So if you're in the Masonic cult, you need to get out. You need to repent and keep this in mind, okay? With deliverance comes repentance. With repentance comes deliverance. And with the two combined together, your sins are forgiven. Remember that the Messiah approached Joseph Stalin on his deathbed with an offer of forgiveness.
Very good. Very good. I don't want to go too deep into this at all. I've gone deep into it in the past. You can look it up on my website and read about it. But you talked about secret societies and how God views them. Well, JFK was going to expose secret societies, get us out of the Federal Reserve. That's why he was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was going to expose the real enemies of America.
Well, there's 31 families that own the Federal Reserve whose names you do not know. And the Federal Reserve was created in order to put an interest rate on a dollar, which taints the viability of the dollar itself. And the interest rate has been used to manipulate the country. And now these interest rates are collapsing the country. The fiat currency is a complete fraud. And the fraud, look what it says in Scripture. It says, you know, neither a borrower nor a lender be, right? But Isaiah talks very specifically in Isaiah 9. Following the 9/11 prophecy, that you will become the debtor and not the creditor. You will become the tail and not the head. Now, there's a book out there by Edwin Unwin called Sex and Culture. And in that book, he describes that what makes a culture viable is, number one, the preservation of virginity among children. Number two, holding marriage between one man and one woman for life. And if you do those two things in three generations, you will become the head. You will become the creditor. If you reject those three things, you will become the debtor, and you will become the tail. Well, there is no greater debtor in the world than the United States. In fact, there's no greater debtor in the world in all history than the United States that currently owes $38 trillion. And they estimate that the federal deficit by the year 2030 will be $100 trillion. The debt this year, the interest on the debt this year, is more than $1 trillion. This is the situation. Now there's another prophecy, too, that says, you know, Moshe says, look, those who practice homosexuality are condemned to death. But what does Yah say about it? If, as a culture, you adopt and codify homosexuality as part of your culture, I will vomit you out of the land I have given you. So when you look at Europe, who's getting vomited out of their own countries? The French are getting vomited out of their country. The Germans are getting vomited out of their... Did you know that almost 60% of Holland is migrants right now? 60% of Belgium is migrants? Almost every country in Europe has a higher migrant population than they do an indigenous population. And now they're shocked. Gee, these guys are asserting supremacy, which they've done in Britain recently. And they're asking themselves, what's the solution? Well, guess what? You guys decided to codify homosexuality. And Yah's vomiting you out of your own land. You're being vomited out. I mean, that's what's happening. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And then when you go, are you going to practice the same things you did that got you vomited out of that land? Maybe you better think about it. Maybe there was a cost that somebody didn't disclose to you. Did Yah really say he was going to vomit you out of your own land? Yeah, he really did say that. And maybe you should have read that and believed it. Now, one last thing I want to say. It is written, by the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart that the Mashiach died and rose again and ascended into heaven, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who will judge the living and the dead, then you are the children of Abraham indeed and heirs of the promise. Now, you either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe that, well, then I guess there's other people that have got a pathway to heaven. Some people have got the shortcut. Some people have got keys to the back door. Some people get in on the basis of their race. Some people get in on the basis of their rhetoric, on the basis of their creed, right? This is what polytheists teach. But the true believers know that by your confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart, you are children of Abraham indeed and heirs of the promise.
Well, then I think we'll talk about Pastor Joel Osteen to Ofra. Homosexuality is sin, but gay people will get into heaven. Joel Osteen, focusing on pleasantry and not sin. What the Bible calls
it. It's all nice. Everything's just nice.
Ofra, interviewing Osteen. Oprah's next chapter. Deeply into the views of homosexuality. Will gay people be accepted into heaven as you see it? Ofra asked the famed pastor. I believe they will.
Well, then he's not reading 2 Timothy. He's not reading Romans 1. You know, he's not reading any of those passages. You know, and of course the difficulty is, you know, I don't want to get too far down the road, but look. The whole idea of domestic partnerships, which became same-sex marriage, all of this was to open the door into depravity. And the depravity at the end of that depravity, what's at the end of that slide, that slippery slope? We predicted the slippery slope in 2010. What's at the end of that slippery slope? You know, you're sliding down here, you know, and you know, as you slide down, the brown stuff is coming out alongside you in a wake, you know, the brown and yellow stuff in a wake. You slop down and then you're face down in the pigsty with all of it. What's at the bottom of that slope? What's at the bottom of the slope is open child sacrifice in the public square. That's what's at the bottom of the slope. And we're all but there.
You know, open sacrifice. What do you think 70, 80 million abortions are? What do you think they are? Then you get into, again, everything they're trying to pass. Everything right now. Pedophilia, incest, bestiality, everything. And we talked about that when we tried to stop same-sex marriage.
That's the brown and yellow that I'm telling you about.
No, I knew what it was, but I wanted to clarify it.
Yeah. I mean, there it is. I mean, you know, polytheism, polygamy, bestiality, incest, pedophilia.
It's no joke. They're trying to make it all legal.
And?
Now.
And guess what? California has passed a bill saying it's going to be legal to abort a baby 1 week after the baby's born. Now, how is that not infant sacrifice?
They're talking about, Steve, I don't know if you read it, a month after.
Yeah, a month after.
A month. To give you time to decide if you want it.
To give you time to decide whether you want to commit open murder in the public square.
So, kill your baby a month after.
So this is what we're talking about. When you're talking, you know, so we went to that, we've gone to that point. Now, when you look at this war that's coming on, World War III, which is coming with Russia, coming very quickly. When you look at that war, the Russians look at us and say, what happened? We were friends. We had the chance to be friends in the year 2000. We had the chance. What happened? How come we're not talking on the same planet anymore? And in their mind, it's all LGBT. Terminated the relationship between America and Russia. And we went to them and said, you know what? What did Obama do? He went in there and he said, you know, my agenda is what? You guys need to introduce abortion into your country legally and promote LGBT. Now, what most people don't understand, I'm going to speak it into this station here. There's a six-colored rainbow flag out there. That six-colored rainbow flag represents the six sexes identified in the Talmud. Did you know that? That's what it does. And so when you see the six-colored flag being promoted up over a church or being promoted up over a state office or a government office, it is telling you the supremacy of the Talmud over that particular culture. That's what it's telling you. So for me, it's totally inconsistent to see a six-colored rainbow flag in a Christian church because you have vitiated the gospel. You've abandoned the gospel. What does Scripture tell you? Scripture is very clear. For anybody who doesn't believe it, you can read it. It's in the Old Testament, and it is repeated in the New Testament, the words of Mashiach himself, saying, haven't you read? Elohim created them, male and female he created them, that the two should be united as one flesh, and what the Father has put together, let no man put asunder.
But Steve,
there are two sexes in the Bible.
The Democrats have created 32.
Well, the Democrats are, you know, they're like a bad grenade that went kasplat in the pigsty, right? Boom, you know, and stuff went everywhere, right? And, you know, this is a dysfunctional group of demon-possessed parasites at the maximum level. They have arrived at political psychosis, or what we have termed earlier in the year, mental syphilis. That's what they suffer from. And if their disease is so obvious now, their leader can't find his way off stage, can't finish a sentence.
And so they've replaced it with a woman that couldn't get 1% of the vote.
Hey, Kamal Anoush, yeah. Couldn't get 1% of the vote, is a hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Marxist, not a natural-born citizen of the United States, born to two people who were not Americans at the time of her birth in Oakland, who grew up in Canada.
You know, Trump on the debate, they brought it out. Oh, are you saying she's not black? Well, I've read she's this, I've read she's that. I don't care what she is. But, you know, her parents are what?
Jamaican and Indian.
There you go. And she used to boast, there's television programs that are there, how she's an Indian.
In fact, her grandfather was one of the biggest slaveholders in Jamaica.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, so the fact is, we all know that the race of the individual is irrelevant. Unless, you know, unless you claim that you're a Native American.
Well, that's, and everybody on this program knows, I'm married to a black lady. Because I don't care. God doesn't care. But like he said, when this lady, I have probably more close friends that are African or American black than any other. It just seems like that's who God has really brought into my life as leaders that I work with. Now, obviously a lot more, but I'm saying probably more than other races. I'm married to a black lady. I have a son by her. It doesn't matter. Although there are certainly, and I'm more and more aware of it now, when I married her, Steve, listen to this. I had a false prophet go social media, and tell me how wrong I was, blasts me, condemns me, and then openly says I'm in fornication. My goodness, I had been married legally for years. Legally. But he's living in open fornication. I've tried to educate him, and I finally said, you know, if you lie one more time, I'm going to sue you for defamation and take everything you've got. The record is clear. Why didn't you bother to look it up when I was married?
Well, again, John, an accuser, right?
Somebody accuser who takes of the
time
brother.
To accuser. And there are people that sit back and say, you know, I've made the decision, I'm going to accuse that guy for purposes of spiritually murdering him in the public square.
That's
so
right.
They have the spirit of murder, they have the spirit of accusation, and then it follows very quickly that they have the spirit of deception, that they're going to start lying about you in order to accuse you.
And see,
so they have the manifestation
good.
Of the demon in them, and the demon is controlling their thought. Now, there's a person that requires deliverance, and because they're deceiving, they come out and say, "Oh, I'm a prophet," right?
And so that's when they claim that.
Yeah. So here you have a false prophet who is a deceiver, who is using words to deceive people, who's an accuser, and who, most importantly, is a spiritual murderer.
And let's bring this together on this. A racist is a liar. Are you following me? A racist is a liar. Just like an adulterer is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You took a vow, took a covenant. You are a liar. A racist is a liar. If a person really has racism, you're going to see a liar.
Well, let me share this with you. Well, with Kamala Harris, we'll have our first female president. Oh, so I get it. We're just going to vote for this person because of their sex. Doesn't that make you a misogynist?
Hey, there you go.
Doesn't that make you an openly misogynist? Wow, you know, we're going to have the first black president. Doesn't that make you openly racist? Have you ever considered that person on the basis of their merit, their intelligence, their ability, their skill set, et cetera? Oh, no. She's female. Enough said. We want to have a female president. Okay, well, then will you accept the female conservative? No. We will not accept the female conservative. Yeah, because the truth is what they really want is Marxism. They want that because guess what? There's two classes in the world. Those who work, the worker, Paul in scripture, right? Paul, and the parasite. And the parasite sits there and yak, talking all day long as to why you have an obligation to pay for them.
You know, we're out of time, but I'll just touch on this. Although I hesitated, but I'm going to touch on it. Because I've got somebody sitting beside me that sometimes gives a deep explanation. And so my time is actually up. But Joel Osteen meets with Pope Francis at the Vatican and raves about the Pope. He's made the church more inclusive and goes on and on and on and on. If you know the heresies of this Pope, backing homosexuality, saying they'll go to heaven. I'm talking about the Pope going and nullifying so many of the what the Bible calls sin. Oh, but he makes it more inclusive and he raves about the Pope. This is Joel Osteen.
Well, two things to say. First of all, the current Pope begs the question, is the Pope Catholic? That's a large...
That's what the Vatican is wondering.
Yeah. And then the second question is, those of you who like diversity, equity and inclusion, are you willing to include demonic forces? Are you willing to include devils? Are you willing to include Hasatan? Would you allow Satan to come and live in your house? Let your yea be your yea and your nay be your nay. Would you allow demons of death and murder and killing to enter into your house? Are you diverse enough? Are you inclusive enough? Are you giving enough equity to your, since that is the God you worship, DEI? Well, then maybe you ought to need to bring them in. Something to think about. Because at the end of your rainbow, you know what AI has plotted for you at the end of your rainbow? Your consciousness will be on a digital chip, and that will be the extent of you.
And it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for watching, listening to The Warning Program, OmegaManRadio.com, and Warning Television and Radio. I'll tell you, we are out of time, but there was so much more I wanted to touch on and did not touch on it. But, you know, the common man, you know, the early pastors understood their sovereignty. They would not come under, if you want to say, the king again, the American Revolution. We are so ignorant today about our responsibility under God. We are so ignorant. A lack of knowledge, people perish, and we're perishing because of our ignorance. God help us. Get in the Word of God. 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. If you want to write a check, send it to P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. Address it to WMI. WMI, P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. If you want to telephone, 360-629-5248. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, PayPal. If you want to pay by Zelle, the reference is warning@worldministries.org. warning@worldministries.org. May God richly bless you. Shannon?
Gentlemen, I certainly am enjoying these programs tonight. In the first hour with Brother Eric, and in the second hour with Brother Stephen. And, of course, our time for TV may be up, but we still have the live stream going, so I want to inject a question or two here at the end, and I want to encourage people to sign up for the podcast, because you'll get stuff that may not be on TV. Gentlemen, while we have you live tonight, let me ask you this question. We know we have a problem where only 35% of Christians are said to vote. And that's sad. They're like mirage sitting on their duff. But let's say we got everybody to stand up and vote for Trump. How are we going to overcome the second problem which is the Dominion voting software. As far as I know, it's not open source. If it was, we could get Elon Musk and his scientists to go through it and go through the code line by line. But look at the very name they've given to this electronic voting software, Dominion. They want to dominate. How are we going to overcome this? Because you can't tell me that there's not backdoor software in every program. And I personally am convinced that that's how the last election was stolen, through the back door. How are we going to overcome another coup attempt just going through the software alone? What do you think, Brother Stephen?
Now, Shannon, I'm going to let Steve even go into the last election. I don't know how deep he wants to get, because I did a lot of programs on it, and he knows a lot about it. Definitely it was stolen. Now, I don't know how deep you want to go.
Well, I'll get right into it.
Well, get it.
Okay, so, Shannon, here's the situation. It's not the Dominion voting machines. It's two software programs called Hammer and Scorecard. They were developed in 2003 by John McCain and U.S. Naval Intelligence to rig elections in Qatar and in Venezuela. And they were used there, and they were also used in Ukraine, and then they began to be used in the United States in 2008. And essentially the way it works is it's a factored voting where they proceed to look at the number of votes, and then they discount the winner's votes to a certain percentage and increase the loser's votes. So, for instance, a vote for Biden might be a 1.75, and a vote for Trump might be a 0.45 until they get the vote totals. Now, we know in the 2020 election that all the votes, all the machines, and you can look at Dominion or you can look at some of the other machines, but it wasn't the machines that were really the problem. It was the routers, which were all Chinese-built routers that all had back doors in them that were all accessed by over 160 ISPs out of China, which converted the vote in every state of the union at 1:20 a.m. depending on the time zone.
Oh, boy.
And what changed it? And then in some of the states, the votes were so disparate, like in Georgia was one of them, there were other states, that they had to make up for it with paper ballots. And so they sent out these guys, what do they call it, 2,000 mules, that Dinesh D'Souza showed you videos of.
Yeah.
And these guys were taking ballots that were printed up and stored at warehouses belonging to the U.S. postal workers in Detroit, Michigan, mostly run controlled by Muslim forces who wanted Barack Obama back in power. And these guys would go out at midnight and start shoving these fake ballots into these boxes so that they could be counted, so that they had a paper ballot to substantiate their fraudulent vote totals. Now, this is completely controlled by the CIA, by the intelligence agencies who are working on behalf of the corporatocracy, which is in Silicon Valley, because unbeknownst to most Americans, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard own 55% of every publicly traded stock. And they are manipulating that stock using an AI generator called Aladdin. And Aladdin is the one making the decisions, and these corporate CEOs are following the decisions of Aladdin. There is no free and fair election in the United States. There has not been for a long, long time. George Bush Sr., H.W. Bush, orchestrated an arrangement in 1991 with a group called the Carlyle Group and Saudi financiers, including Sheikh bin Talal, that they had decided that Bush was going to step down, even though he had a 92% approval rating, in order to bring in basically his son-in-law, Bill Clinton, to run for the next 8 years, to have a Democrat there, on the condition that his son would be president for the next 8 years, which bin Talal said, on the condition that you will have a Muslim as the president for 8 years after that. So Barack Obama was selected in 1991. He'd been a candidate developed by the CIA since 1980 and was actually an MI6 agent at the time, as is Kamala Harris, also an MI6 agent. So the deep state has completely controls the election. They give the myth that we have a right to vote. Now, in 2016, what happened was that there was rogue forces inside of naval intelligence that knew where the ISP was that was going to manipulate the election that night. That's why Hillary Clinton was certain she was going to win in 2016. And this group from the naval intelligence, with whom I was in a think tank in Washington, D.C. in November of 2020, their group went to that location and cut all the power and the internet to that location about the time they were going to rig the election.
Wow.
They got
They got the power and the internet back up within the hour, and they cut it again. So they were unable to rig the election the way they wanted to. And the next thing, you know, even though they had it all planned out, they couldn't pull it off, and Trump won, which was an absolutely anathema to the corporatocracy, who will not allow a populist to hold the office at all. You can have a Democrat or Republican, it makes no difference, but it can't be a populist. And so this is what has taken place. So when we're talking about trying to get the election squared away, the difficulty is now, I mean, to give you an example, this Kamala Harris, not a native, not a natural born citizen of the United States, unqualified to be the president, and hated by Democrats. She couldn't get 1% of the vote in the Democratic primary, so they didn't have her stand for a vote by people who are supporting democracy. There was no vote any time taken to put Kamala Harris in as the president. There was no candidate allowed to challenge her, like RFK Jr., who would have blown her completely out of the saddle. Impossible. They wouldn't allow it to happen. So here you have this non-democratic candidate selected by Nancy Pelosi, who, by the way, committed a federal act of treason in certifying Barack Obama as a candidate for the presidency when she knew he was disqualified. She nonetheless has moved another disqualified candidate into the slot, and the mass media, all controlled by intelligence agencies in the United States, comes out and says, oh, she has 48% of the vote, and Trump only has 42% of the vote. Were they saying that this is a poll that they took? No, they're telling you they've already cast the vote in the election. They already know the servers they have rigged. They already know the vote count, where it's going to be, and they've already fixed it. There's nothing that's going to happen in the election unless there is some kind of something or other that completely changes the paradigm in the United States, because the election already happened, and it's not an election that calls for a vote. So this is how badly rigged this system is. It was so bad in 2020 in the state of Washington, the Democratic candidates didn't even put on a campaign. They didn't spend dime one. They didn't put up vote for me signs anywhere. They didn't appear at speeches. They didn't debate. Why bother? It's already in the bag. Why should I debate? I've already been elected. I was already selected by the corporatocracy. I don't need to run for anything. And you can see the same thing in the U.S. Congress. All of the congressmen in the United States Congress are bought and paid for and owned by special interests. They have no regard whatsoever for Americans. There might be one or two exceptions, but the vast majority of them have no regard whatsoever for Americans. They're only interested in their corporate donors that make them happen. AOC, a cocktail waitress, is now worth $28 million.
Wow.
Right? So this is the kind of thing that happens inside of this corporatocracy. So when we talk about what's necessary at this point, Shannon, is that there must be a complete turning of the grassroots. People have to become people of faith, and they have to, and not only people of faith, but they need to have an understanding of the trappings of the faith, of the protocols of the faith, of how the faith was managed, about what the true faith is and what its way is. And when you understand that its way is predicated upon the common law, which is the Ten Commandments given by Yah, that becomes the dominant paradigm. That becomes the chief cornerstone upon which the whole of the faith is built. You know, when Mashiach said, I am the way and the truth and the life, you know, you need to look at Psalm 119, 1, as to what the way is, and you need to look at 119, 143, as to what the truth is. And Messiah is telling you, I am these things. Because he and the Torah, which is the commands of Yah, not necessarily of Moshe, this is the foundation of all civilization. And the believer needs to understand the Ten Commandments. Let me give you an example in terms of understanding. You know, the U.S. Constitution says, no life, liberty, or property shall be taken, comma, except. Except. Now, in the legal world, everything before the except is a lie. Okay? Everything before the but is a lie. No life, liberty, or property shall be taken except when we take it. What you really have a right to under the U.S. Constitution is due process. You don't have a right to life, liberty, or property. You have a right to due process before we take it. So when you talk about a right to life, where's your right to life come from? Where's your right to property come from? Where does your right to liberty come from? Where does it come from? It comes from the proscription, thou shalt not kill. Because Yah said, thou shalt not kill, you have a right to life. Because Yah said, you shall not steal, you have a right to property. What property? Well, the same stuff you're not supposed to covet. Don't covet a man's wife. Don't covet a man's things. Don't covet a man's house. Don't covet his servants, the people that work for him, his employees, his contracts, or anything else that belongs to him. This is your right to property. It springs from the Ten Commandments. But what else do you have? Well, how about you have a right to the seventh day off? How about you have a right to not bow down to an idol? Oh, this is our new cryptocurrency. Bow down and worship it. It's got my picture on it. It's got my engraved image on it. Bow down and worship it. Well, I have the right to not bow down and worship it. I have the right to proclaim that there is a single Father in heaven, and his truth is an absolute truth. I have a right to proclaim his name in public. You shall not bring his name to nothing. You shall proclaim it in public. You shall declare it. What did Messiah say in John 17, verse 23? I have declared your name unto them and will declare it, that the love of you that is in me might be in them and I in them. These are the kinds of rights that spring from the Ten Commandments. This is the foundation of the common law. And if your code, your statutes, your judgments, your commands, your edicts, your executive orders, your administrative law contradicts in any way that foundation, it's not law. It is anathema. It is contradictory to the maker of heaven and earth. And it has no right of existence at all. When we learn these things, when we learn the foundation of the common law and what the scripture actually tells us, then we achieve common sense. Then we have the commonwealth. Because the commonwealth is found in the law that is given to us by Yah himself, written with his own finger, to which he added nothing further.
Shannon?
That's a great point. Let me ask you one more question. There was a guy named J.J. Carroll. He's been on the interview circuit, redacted. Alex Jones interviewed him. He's a former 24-year Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, official. He's been tracking human trafficking. He said the true number of illegals right now is more like 37.5 million in the country in the past few years. The reason I'm mentioning him is he recently interviewed a lady named Christy Hutcherson of Women Fighting for America. And she's a government contractor. And they were talking about government contracts right now in the system to put basically detention facilities, concentration camps, if you will, in 50 states. And the real question is, who are they planning to put in there? I know who I think they're going to put in there. They're coming after everyone that opposes the globalist. Now, here's my question to you. Do y'all remember back around 87 when Oliver North refused to answer that question when he was being grilled on Rex 84 and I think Operation Garden Plot, you know, plan for continuity of government and to basically imprison a large segment of America. So I don't think this is illegals at all that they're planning to put in there. My question to you then is, do you think they're getting ready to roll out something of the equivalent of a Rex 84 Operation Garden Plot? And as Kamala wins, God forbid, they're coming after us like they're coming after people right now in the UK to put them in jail for posting on Facebook?
Oh, it's going to be much worse than that. When you look at the protocols that happened in the Soviet Union under Yusef Djugashvili and Vladimir Ulyanov, known as Lenin and Stalin, they killed 66 million Orthodox believers in gulags, in concentration camps, by the most harsh means you could possibly imagine. And one thing I want to point out, you've got 37.5 million illegals in the country. They're trying to pass a law that says these illegals can vote. Now, they may not ever vote. It doesn't make any difference, because what they will do is they'll take 37.5 million ballots and put it in the names of all these illegals and stuff them into ballot boxes, all voting for Harris, because they control that narrative. So they don't have to, these people don't ever have to show up at the poll. We've got a ballot for you, and we went ahead and voted for you. That's how that's going to end up. Now, when you talk about these concentration camps, I got to tell you a story about the worship leader inside the church who got taken to a FEMA camp to be beheaded. And he gets to the FEMA camp, and he's kind of freaked out about the whole thing. And they show him the guillotine and everything, and they walk him out there. They say, it's your time. So they walk him out to the guillotine, and they lay him down. He says, do you have any last words? And he said, yeah, I do. Have you got a microphone? And the guy says, yeah, we got a microphone. He hands him a wireless mic, and his last words were, Testing, testing. Is this thing on? Could I get a little more of me in the monitor? It's a little bit dark, Shannon, I'll grant you. But I can tell you that the best laid plans of these Satanists that are currently governing the United States, who intend on exacting a Marxist overthrow and the imposition of a communist government, and they seized power in an illegal coup in 2020 through election, and they intend to hold on to that power, and they're going to increase their level of illegality in this upcoming election in order to hold on to the trappings of power. That's what they're going to do. It's going to increase. And but they intend to impose these concentration camps and all this other thing. But there's a couple of things that these communists forget. Number one, the communist revolution in Russia succeeded because they had a funding agent, namely New York bankers, who put $28 million in gold in the hands of Vladimir Lenin in St. Petersburg to finance that revolution. There is no one that's going to finance a country that's $38 trillion in debt for this next revolution. There's no funder that, like Lenin had, there's nobody to fund it here in the U.S. No one. There's no one that can or will or that's going to. So they don't have the money to do it. The second thing they don't recognize is that they're not the ones who decide who's going to rise and control the earth. There is one in heaven that decides who's going to rule. And you have to keep this in mind. Daniel 4:11, Nebuchadnezzar says the following. You want to know who's going to win the election? It's a very simple formula. Nebuchadnezzar says that Yah raises the basest among you to rule over you. So the only equation you have to ask is, who's the most base person running for the president? That's who's going to win. The same person for governor, too, right? So when you look at this, we have a responsibility to be a moral people. We have a responsibility to find that way and to teach that way to our children and grandchildren and to be truthful to that way, to be loyal to that way, to let our walk be our talk be our walk be our talk, to have integrity, to let your yea be your yea and your nay be your yea, your nay. And under those circumstances, we may lose our lives, but we will not lose the truth of the moment. We will not lose the exclamation of the kingdom of Yah. We will not lose that. And as a result, we will win. We will ultimately win the victory. So when we talk about what's coming here in 2024, be true to your faith first. Remember, your citizenship is in the kingdom first. It's in the kingdom first. We're kings and priests. And just as we can command the demons, we can command the demons in other people as well. And let it be said that these people who have any demon in them at all, may Yah blind them in their approach to any believer, that when they come to the door, they don't even see you. They can't find your house. They can't find your address. They can't see you when you're walking down the street. They don't even know that you're there. It's just a blind spot in their mind. And all of the trappings that they have prepared, all of the wickedness, all of the evil, all of the genocide, all of the concentration camps, all of the brutality, everything that they have in mind doing is going to come back to them in a double cup of wrath poured out from the hands of Yah himself over a people that are now poised for judgment.
Shannon?
Thank you for the response on that. I really enjoyed tonight's program. You know, I think that the biggest problem we got in the church right now is demonization of people. You mentioned parasites tonight. If there's any dog lovers out there and you've ever raised a pup, you know that they all are born with worms. And you better give them a parasite cleanse. I learned out the hard way. And I ended up getting another pup, and my breeder for this Bazinga that I bought, the Barkless Dog from Africa, said, oh, I gave it the worm pills. Oh, I said, okay, great. Come to find out, I guess he didn't do it. Because one day I saw some worms in the poo, and about 2 days later, this dog died. By the time I got it to the vet, the parasites had just taken it out. It was horrible. And I maintain that everybody out there has probably got demons from birth. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing deliverance in the church like we need to. You know, are we born again at birth? No. You know, like Psalm says, I was shaping iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. And we've got a lot of self-righteous Christians out there that say, hey, I don't have any demons. Well, how old were you when you got born again? What did you do before you got born again? Did you open up some doors? Of course, we all did. And we were all probably born with demons and generational curses. You talked about Freemasonry tonight. It was in my family line. And at 34, the Lord spoke to me in a dream and said, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break. I was born again. I love Jesus, but I was being tormented. We never had deliverance growing up in the Church of God. Sadly, that was a missing component of Christ's ministry that I never saw in the Christian church growing up. And I've been in the church for over 50 years. Never saw it. But I saw the ramifications of Christians who did not go through deliverance. So I just want to say I wholeheartedly agree with what y'all were talking about tonight. We need deliverance. We need to get cleaned up. We need to resist the devil. We need to give no place to the enemy. And we need to realize we probably all were born with some things that we need to get free of. We need to come to Christ, get delivered, get cleaned up, get sanctified in the Holy Ghost, and then go out there and set people free in Jesus' name. That's my micro sermon for tonight. Gentlemen, as we're closing, how do people contact you in your ministries? How can they support your work?
Well, 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. Worldministries.org, worldministries.org. I've shared it many times. P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington. And Steve, give your contacts.
Okay, you can reach me by email at Stephen, that's with a P-H, pronounced Stephen. No, I'm kidding. Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at sepher.net, C-E-P-H-E-R.net. You can find all of my work at, well, most of my work, at sepher.net, C-E-P-H-E-R.net. And you'll find my videos and my blog. And you can also, I teach professionally through sepheracademy.net. And I teach on the common law, on Blackstone, on the Ten Devarim, on the Gospels, etc. And, of course, and so those are the best ways to reach me. And, of course, if you're a Telegram fan, and I use Telegram a lot because it's a censorship-free environment, for the most part, at least right now it is. And so I have a Telegram channel called Sepher Academy, Sepher Shabbat Group, and also Radio Free Alaska. And you can also contact me at Stephen Pigeon Chat, P-I-D-G-E-O-N, Stephen Pigeon Chat on Telegram. And Radio Free Alaska, it's an open forum. You can just, you know, download it on your Telegram app and you'll find me there and you'll be able to reach me. And I do a daily broadcast on Radio Free Alaska. I won't be doing it for the next couple of weeks because I'm traveling. But I do a daily broadcast on Radio Free Alaska at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I have a YouTube channel, the Stephen Pigeon YouTube channel, and I have a lot of videos up there. The podcasts can all be found on sepher.net on a format called Sepher Radio. Sepher Radio. But remember, it's C-E-P-H-E-R. And you can explore my work in the scriptures with the Sepher Millennium Edition that we're currently publishing. We have a great deal of information on that at the sepher.net website.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. And Dr. Hansen, how do people contact you at Warning Ministries and become part of Eagle Saving Nation?
Again, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. That'd be a great way to sign up, worldministries.org. They want to give off the website. The Zelle is warning@worldministries.org. That's warning@worldministries.org. 360-629-5248. Telephone number, 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. Again, they could give by Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, PayPal. P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, if they want to send a letter. Address the check to WMI, WMI. P.O. Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. This stuff on the election fraud and COVID we never even touched on, but I probably did 20, 30 programs on the election fraud. Did a lot of them with Steve and others, and I got thrown right off a television station. So this stuff is real. It's explosive. They don't like it. And next week I will share exactly, we never got to it in time, again, the November election and what is about to happen. and it's going to happen. I'm telling you, civil unrest, civil war, and invasion, get ready. Trouble is coming. You better be right with God. Shannon?
Forgive me for my hoarse voice tonight. I just want to say thank you to Brother Eric, Brother Stephen. Thank you to you, Dr. Hansen, Brother Vance, all the people there. Great right now word tonight. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.
God bless, Shannon.
Thank you. And happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Friends, hey, that was pretty awesome. We went overtime. That's one advantage to tuning into these broadcasts on podcasts. We have really no time limit. Whereas if you're doing a 30-minute or a 60-minute TV program, they have to, you know, cut it off at the specified hour. I want to thank you for tuning in this week to our program. God bless you all out there. That is going to conclude this week's broadcast. All these shows will be uploaded to our archive on SoundCloud. They also go up on Blog Talk Radio. From there, the computer feeds pick them up over at iTunes and Amazon and other places. And you've got many options on where you can listen to an archive, depending on what you use out there for your podcast platform. The best thing you can do to stay in touch with us here is do two things. Bookmark my website. It's running 24 hours a day, OmegaManRadio.com. And also get on my email blast. We call it Substack. That's a system we're using for uncensored news, uncensored pipeline, OmegaMan.Substack.com. Brother Stephen was mentioning Telegram. I failed to mention that pray for the founder of Telegram. He's been arrested. He's in Paris, France, in a jail. They're going after free speech platforms. They've got him locked up because he would not bow down to the globalists and censor the network like they want him to do. Elon Musk, of course, his ex has been shut down in Brazil. Judge over there threatening to fine Brazilians upwards of about $7,000 U.S. per year. That's your average yearly salary for just even trying to get onto X through a VPN. Truckers just imprisoned in Canada who stood up against the dictator known as Trudeau, wanted to keep their jobs, did not want to be vaxxed. He said, unless you vax, you can't drive a truck across this border. Well, they put everything on the line and pray for them. Two of them were just sentenced to 6 years in jail. This is coming, folks. Prepare for persecution. Get the book by Michael Boldea. Begin to read it. You can find it on Amazon. Let's get ready. And knowing that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, we don't stop. The Lord told me himself the other day in his word, Isaiah 21, I believe it was, Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. A few lines down it says, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? So us that are called into the watchman ministries cannot stop. We've got to keep sounding the alarm while it's still day and we can work. Yeah, it was Isaiah 21 the Lord gave me 2 or 3 days ago. Isaiah 21. Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. Over there in verse 9, I believe it is. And then he gave me verse 11. Watchmen, what of the night? Al Cuppet used to talk about that. He heard the same question asked of him. It changed his life. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to do these programs this week. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, which is a space and time for each of us to repent before the Spirit leaves our body. Forgive us all, Lord Jesus, where we have fallen short this week. Forgive me. I've fallen short. Pour out your goodness, mercy, and grace on us all. Forgive us of every sin, back to the very first thought, word, deed, gesture, action. We ask, God, that you would cover us in your blood, Lord Jesus. and everyone tuning in out there tonight and our family. We plead the blood of Jesus over us all, our family members, the program, all those of you that are tuning in this week, your family, all the speakers. We lift up Sister Peggy Mravelag getting ready to go into surgery. God, guide the surgeons, let them be with her as she goes in, I believe, in a few hours. Be with her, God. Let her have a speedy recovery. Pray the same for Joseph Ferrara. We lift up Elvis Newhart tonight. Mel Novak. Pastor Bill French, Jr. Vanessa. Terry Jefferson. All those, Lord, out there that need a touch. Go with them, God. Be their defense. And with us all. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless them all, God. Let them have a speedy recovery. Surround us with your warrior angels. God, encourage us. Give us dreams and visions, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Show us things that we know not. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Folks, I love and appreciate you. I want to say a special thanks to everyone who at any time in the last 14 years of us being on the air, if you're listening in tonight, have supported this work. It has helped get us to where we're at tonight, to do another program, another broadcast day. I'm going to go as far as I'm able to go. And if you'd like to help fuel these shows, join. Come on board with us. Many ways you can do it at the website. We got Cash App now, Venmo. Some people use that, PayPal, Zelle, GoFundMe, mailing address. There's some other ways that no one's used yet, but we've got them there in case you want to. I want to thank you all that have given. God richly bless you now in His kingdom come. Bless those that will support this work, help us. And that's all I got to say about it. Love you all. Have a great weekend, and God willing, we'll be back Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you need deliverance, we're going to have Demon Hotline open 5 times next week, Monday through Thursday, 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern by appointment. If you want one of those appointments, we can do a couple per show. Email me, omegamanradio@protonmail.com. Let me know what time zone you're in and what day of the week works best for you. Or we've got one slot during the mornings, Wednesday, at about 11 a.m. Eastern. And that's also open if people would like a daytime appointment. I still got to work on some schedules for my friends out there, those of you tuning in from Europe and Australia that might not be available during the day. Because of the time zone difference, you probably wouldn't want the evening program. That would be about 1 a.m. midnight your time. But if you do, let me know. We could bring you in. Otherwise, we've got to come up with some new slots for you. Unless you can do that Wednesday in the morning time, which would be about 11 a.m. UK, which would be noon Germany. That's it, folks. I love you. And thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We'll see you next time in Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in, Micah.